Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 10 to 12 minutes, we're going to draw strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. This is episode 1.7, God in the Day-to-Day, Obedience. The Bible passage for this episode is Romans 6, 15 to 23. I'll read from the ESV, the English Standard Version, and I'm pretty sure you're going to recognize the last verse of this passage. It's pretty familiar. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations, but just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Obedience is not a sexy topic. For a lot of guys, obedience is about as exciting as singing in church. You do it, or at least attempt to do it, because it's what's expected of you, but you're not motivated to excel at it. If you don't like to sing in church, then I have just one thing to say to you. Be thankful that you weren't in church 300 years ago. Back then, congregational singing in most English-speaking churches was, well, just horrible. Here's how it would go. A deacon would read the first line of the song's text, and then the congregation would respond by singing the rest in a slow and ponderous drone. If that weren't bad enough, a typical song had a really crude text, such as this. Ye monsters of the bubbling deep, your master's praises spout. Up from the sands, ye codlings, peep and wag your tails about. That's just awful. A man named Isaac Watts decided to change that. For 2 years, he wrote a new hymn every Sunday. You may recognize some of them. O God, our help in ages past. I sing the mighty power of God. And everybody's favorite Christmas carol, Joy to the World. When he was 33, Watts wrote a hymn that was controversial. Why? Because it reflected his personal feelings, and you didn't do that 300 years ago. But that hymn struck a nerve with people. It became so popular and had such a big impact that theologian Matthew Arnold called it the greatest hymn in the English language. What was it? I'll tell you in a few minutes. Right now, I'll tell you the topic of that hymn, especially the last verse. The topic is obedience. True obedience requires giving everything you have. One of Jesus' parables from Matthew 25 is a good illustration of this. Here's the parable. A man who was the master over a large household with 3 key servants went on a long journey. Before he left, he entrusted his property, which was worth about $8 million, to the 3 servants, each according to his ability. The man gave $5 million to one servant, $2 million to another, and $1 million to a third. After a long time, the master returned and settled accounts with the servants. The first servant doubled the $5 million that he had control over into $10 million. The second servant also doubled what the master had given him, turning $2 million into $4 million. To each of them, the master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much." The third servant didn't increase the $1 million at all because he hid it in the ground. What did the master say to the servant who had been disobedient? He called that servant wicked, slothful, worthless, and the master had that servant cast into the outer darkness. Clearly, we need to make it a priority to be consistently obedient to God. If that parable doesn't convince you, then maybe the hymn will. What's the hymn that some said was the greatest hymn in the English language? It's "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." In case you're not familiar with it, I'll have the Chris Bollinger Singers sing it for you. Here they are. And a one, and a two, and a...
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. Charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flowing down. Did such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
Well, that's what you get when the tenor misses a bunch of rehearsals. The final verse is all about obedience, how we should respond, how we must respond to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. But how do we do that? If you skim the Old Testament or read Romans 7, then it becomes pretty obvious that obedience is not something that you can do on your own. You need help. And God provides that help when you submit to Him. At the Last Supper, Jesus had sobering words for His disciples, His closest friends, for 3 years. He was going to die, and even though He would rise from the dead, He was going to leave His friends and return to His Father in heaven. But He wouldn't leave them alone. God would give them the Holy Spirit, who would act as a helper, an advocate, and a counselor. The Holy Spirit would be with them, dwelling in them. He would teach them, reminding them of the teachings of Jesus. and he would act as the Spirit of truth, guiding them in all truth. When you put your faith in Jesus, God gives you that same Holy Spirit. By relying on the Spirit, you can give God your soul, your life, your all, every day. Next week, I'll talk about patience. I hope you'll join me for that. Guys, if you're getting any benefit from these weekly strength episodes, then please pick up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men. You'll find it to be a good resource on this journey. Have a good week, men.